A nice thing about my dear friend Rav Nesana that he tends to exaggerate a little, just a little. And we talked about me, he was actually talking about himself because I saw him daven. He can't see me because I sit in the back, but I can see him. And the truth is, I thought about it when he told me to come here today. I thought about it, I'm not sure I'm allowed. Starting at the 3 weeks, the time of Avelus. Extra simcha like I have right now, just to see your face and to see you guys, I'm not sure I'm allowed to have it. But there's nothing like Limud Torah, Talmud Torah, Keneged Kulam. So it's a tremendous chus, it's a privilege, it's an honor to be here. And in Mitzvah Shem, the words that we'll say tonight about Reb Chaim should be L'Toeles, to elevate his neshama higher and higher in the upper worlds in Mitzvah Shem. So exactly 4 months ago, and one day, Klal Yisrael started mourning. This year, we did a Hachana. We started mourning earlier than normal. Normally we start today. Yud Ches, or yesterday, Yud Zayin Tammuz. But Klal Yisrael went into mourning mode. Tell me, I want to be provocative. Am I allowed to be provocative here? I'm allowed to. There's a hit. Did you really think that Chaim is going to live forever? The man was 94 years old. You know, people don't last. There were people who were greater than Reb Chaim. Chassam Sofer. The Rambam. Reb Shemba Yochai. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They didn't last. Human body is not made to make it more than 120 years. Some people were lucky. Got a little more time than that. Who spent more time than 120 years here? You know? Noah. I'm not talking back there. I'm talking when people are going to start living for about 120, and thereafter, somehow, some people are, what'd you say? Oh, how long did he live for? 123. But I'm talking big numbers. Who? Serach Basasher. You know how long she lives for? According to some calculations, around 2,000 years. Later, much later though. Reb Freida, Eruvin Nun Gimel Amud Beis, he lives for whatever he had, an additional 400 years that he got as a reward because he was very patient with his Talmidim. Patience with his Talmidim. Not saying anything. It's well worth it. Rav lived for 300 years, and there were a few other people. But normally people don't make it more than 120 years. So the Avos HaKedoshim didn't make it. Rashbi didn't make it, the Rambam, but Reb Chaim, you thought he's going to stay here forever? What's the big deal if I'm allowed to use that language? It's fine. And Adam Godol lied, but you know what? He left hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of descendants all walking in his path, the way of Torah. He left us a treasure trove of Torah. So many Svarim that he authored in all subjects of Torah. So what's the big deal? I understand if it's a 30-year-old, 20-year-old prodigy, supposed to be the next big thing, a 60-year-old, heart attack, unexpected, cancer, 7 years old, when he's strong and vibrant, he's 94, weak and sick. So what do we mourn? In the same vein, we can ask the same thing about Beis Hamikdash. Should we start mourning today? Did you really think a physical structure can last for more than, how long was the first Beit HaMikdash? How long did it stand for? 410 years. And the second? 420. Do you know any physical structure today? A building that people use, not as a museum, as a ruin. A physical structure that people use today, that they live in, after 400 years, doesn't exist. The best of my knowledge. So what's the big deal? Buildings are not meant to last. Just go to Ukraine. Buildings don't last. And yet, Chazal have an unbelievable language. In the Medrash, Eicha Rabba, Chazal say, Kashe silukan shel tzadikim, yoyser mechurban beis hamikdash. When Adam Gadol dies, it's worse, it's harsher than losing the beis hamikdash itself. What's going on? You know, when we all used to go to 23 Rashbam, that's where he lived in Bnei Brak, it's not that we just went to see an Adam Gadol. Much more than that. There was actually an element of the presence of the Shechina HaKedosha in that house. Who told me that secret? Rashi!
Shabbos Daf Nun Hamud Aleph. Rashi says, Ad Shelo Nivne HaMishkan, until the Mishkan was erected, Shechina used to reside in Oihalei Tzadikim, in the tents of Tzadikim. That's where you found the Shechina. The Ran in his Chidushim, Rosh Hasaran, Drush 8 writes that after the destruction of Beis Hamikdash, the Shechina comes back to reside in Oihalei Tzadikim. So the Shechina is found in the homes of Gedolei Yisrael. Now we have many Gedolei Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. There's no shortage of Gedolei Yisrael. But when an Adam Gadol of the stature of Chaim leaves us, some element, some part of the Shechina Kedosha is more removed from us, and for that we mourn. So how is it possible that losing him is worse than losing Beis Hamikdash? We're mourning for 2,000 years for the loss of Beis Hamikdash. Today you fast, in 3 weeks we're going to fast, if Chalila, Mashiach is not going to come by then. And you're telling me Reb Chaim is worse? Losing him is worse, is harsher? Yes. Reb Shlomo Zalman explained, you know, we can live without Beis Hamikdash. It's hard to say, but that's the truth. It's not optimal. We don't want that. We strive to live in a time when we have Beis Hamikdash with us. But look, we've been doing it for 1800 years. We're still around. We can live without Beis Hamikdash. But we cannot live without Gedolei Yisrael. Gedolei Yisrael are called Einei Ha'eda, the eyes of the congregation. They are the ones that guide us. They lead us to tell us what is Ratzon Hashem. What does Hashem want from us? They tell us how to understand the Torah, the directives to walk in the path of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot live without Gedolei Yisrael, and in that respect, losing them is harsher than losing Beis HaMikdash. So we all know Reb Chaim was a Malach Hashem Tzevakos. I'm sure you heard all kinds of amazing stories, and you're going to hear amazing stories. But what does it have to do with me? My name is not Shmariyahu Yosef Chaim Kanievsky. I don't live in Bnei Brak, and I don't learn 25 hours a day. You know, he used to learn 25 hours. He used to get up 1 hour earlier than everybody else. So I'm not an angel. What does it have to do with me? A 94-year-old old man, giant in Torah, died. Wait, Shkoyach. Okay, I'm sad if you want me to be. But what does it have to do with me? What can I take from it? And I'm sure that you read a lot of stories. And more books are going to come out. I really rushed to put out this sefer. It just came out last week. Everything that had to do with him in the last 15 years. The Shailas HaTshuvos, the brachos that were fulfilled. The miracles that I saw in that holy house in 23 Rashbam. But more books are going to come out. And more amazing stories. But what do we take from those stories? Is there something for us, regular, normal human beings, not angels walking into, to take from it? So let's see. We're going to try to explore different facets of the life of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Nesanlin told me that we only have till midnight. So, you know, 2.5 hours to go, I think you'll be fine. You ate, right? Everybody ate. You know, Reb Chaim passed away on Shushan Purim, Friday about 4 p.m. Israel time. I think there was a major chesed in that. The regular Purim of most of the world wasn't affected. That was Thursday. We were fine. Yerushalayim's Purim also wasn't affected because it only happened towards the end of the day, at 4 o'clock. I think Shabbos was around 5 o'clock that day. And by then, at 4 p.m., everybody in Yerushalayim is already drunk anyways. So they had no idea. So you know what happened when we started getting the call? Major tehillim needed right now. It was about 3:30, and all the gabayim and all the rabbanim started calling each other. What do we do today in shul? When you go to shul, Kabbalah Shabbos, no speeches today. We're just going to tear the heavens with the tehillim. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He snatched them away from us. Didn't allow us to come to shul because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we have koyach hatfila. About 10 years ago, we did that to Rabbi Yoshiv. I'm sorry, 10 years ago, he passed away. 20 years ago, Rabbi Yoshiv was 92 years old. And he had a major, major operation, and he basically wasn't here with us anymore. But Klal Yisrael went to the shuls, and we davened, and we changed the decree. And somehow he got 10 more years of life. Vibrant, fruitful, 10 years saturated with Torah and with Piskei Halacha. So Kodesh Baruch Hu knew, if Klal Yisrael will go to the shuls, I can't take Reb Chaim. But Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted to enhance his Simchas Purim. They needed a little more simcha, so they called Reb Chaim, come join us with Simchas Purim. But there was a chesed, because our Purim wasn't affected. But we see from here the koyach of tefillah.
And the message to us is that when we want something, you turn to Ribbono Shel Olam and say, Tati, Dad, Father, Abba, whatever language you use, I really want it. And when we collectively daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He listens. And He changes the decree. So since we said He died on Purim, let's say something from Reb Chaim's Torah that's related to Purim, and soon you'll see later, you'll see why it's so important to share His Torah. Let's see who remembers some stuff from 4 months ago. Ahasuerus makes a big party. Mishteh. All the Jews are invited. How many Jews came to the Mishteh of Ahasuerus? Anyone knows? Not everybody together. Can't hear when you're all yelling at me. One by one, one by one. Rabbi Yisrael, how many Jews came to the Mishteh of Ahasuerus? 5,000? 2,622,000? What do you say? Anyone? Any numbers? Medesh Rabba, Esther Rabba, Parasha Zayin, Os Yud Ches, again Yalkut Shimon, Remez Tav Tav Reish Nun Zayin. You know the answer? 18,500 Jews. Keep this number. 18,500 Jews. 50, 60 years ago, a young man in Bnei Brak called Chaim Kanievsky at the time, looks at this number and says, where'd you get this number from? 18,500? If Chazal says something, it's precise. It's perfect. Because the Shekhinah speaks out of the throat of Chazal. If it's 18,500, it's got to be. So Reb Chaim thinks a second. All the wheels are turning. Oh, it's Pashut. Let's embark on a small journey along with Reb Chaim to prove that when Chazal says something, it's perfect. Ahasuerus calls all the Jews in Shushan, come over to the Mishteh. Where was this Mishteh held?
Shushan.
Where? In the attic, in the basement. Where was it? The basketball court? Where was it? Chatzah Ginas Bitan HaMelech, in the courtyard of a king. What's the size of a courtyard of a king? Eruvin Chavav Amud Aleph. We learned that it's Chatzar Melech, the courtyard of a king, is a base school. Base school is 30 seah. Base school is 30 seah. How much is each seah? 50 amma by 50 amma. How much is 50 by 50? Bishinui? 2,500? 2,500 square ammas is a one seah, but we said 30 seah. 30 times 2,500? 75,000 square amma. So we have a yard the size of 75,000 square ammas that we have to fill. Great. What does a person occupy? How much space does he occupy? Sukkah Tav Zayin Amud Beis, Ches Amud Aleph, Gavra, Be'amsa, Yasiv. A person occupies Amma by Amma. Oh, wait a second. The Ahasuerus calls you to eat. He can't give you an Amma by Amma because it's not enough even to raise the fork until you can't eat like that. He's got to give you double that. That's 2 Ammas by 2 Ammas. 2 Ammas by 2 Ammas is 4. If you have a courtyard, 75,000 square feet that you have to fill, and each person occupies 4 Ammas, 4 by 4... How many people can fit in that courtyard? 75,000 divided by 4? No, you're good with math. 18,000? 750. Houston, we have a problem. We said, how many people came? Chazal told us 18,500. But there's room there for 18,750. 215 people missing in action. Where did they go? The Megillah says, Ve'abed chamesh me'ois ish. They killed 500 people. The Targum, and that pasuk says, they were Amalekim. There's a mitzvah. Machotim ze'echer Amalek. You have to erase, eradicate Amalek's name. Who does this mitzvah? Who gets to do this mitzvah? Not the people who went to the Mishteh, because in Megillah Yud Beis Amud Aleph we learn, because of them, all the trouble started. So the people, the tzaddikim from the party of Mordechai, they didn't go to the Mishteh. They are the ones executing this mitzvah. Machotimche. When you have to erase Amalek, how many people do you have to erase in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Yerushalmi Soita Pere Gimel Halacha Gimel. The Yerushalmi discusses another mitzvah of erasing, Mechia. And that is the Megillas Soita. The woman Soita, she comes to Beis HaMikdash, and we have to erase. We even erase Hashem's name, right? To create shalom between a husband and a wife. How many letters do you have to erase in the Megillah of the Soita in order to fulfill the mitzvah? Chazal say, 2 letters. When you erase 2 letters, you already fulfill the mitzvah. Wait, so if erasing is done by 2 letters,
So another mitzvah of erasing Amalek, is probably also done by killing two Amalekim. If there were 500 Amalekim that were killed, as the Pasuk says in the Megillah, how many people were needed in order to kill them? 250, each one killing two. We found that Ahasuerus invited everybody to the courtyard, which can hold 18,750, but only 18,500 came. Yeah, of course, because 250 tzaddikim from the party of Mordechai said, Sorry, Ahasuerus, you have something a little better to do. I'm going to kill some Amalekim. We'll catch you later. You see, when Chazal says something, it's sweet, it's delicious, it's perfect. Now, who does this? A young man in Bnei Brak, 60 years ago, who owns the entire Torah. Midrashim, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, everything is open in front of him at all times. And he takes a little from this and a little from this, and he makes it really, really well. And what a beautiful, delicious kaka comes out. 6 years ago, in 3 months, I was traveling to his house on a Thursday night, Erev Pesach. Pesach that night, that year, was Friday night. So I came to him one night before, and the day before Pesach in the Kanievsky's house was a very, very festive day. Why? Because Reb Chaim used to do a siyum on the entire Torah, every single Erev Pesach. He's a Bechor. And as a Bechor, he's going to exempt his fast by doing a siyum. I think most people, if you have some firstborns here, you have some Bechorim here? Most people who are Bechorim go to the shul and see somebody else's siyum. And if you're smart enough, lucky enough, you do your own siyum on Maseches Megillah or Maseches Tainis. For Reb Chaim, that doesn't go. So Reb Chaim does a siyum every Erev Pesach. He started this when he was 17 years old, ended it when he was 94. That's 77 years straight of doing a siyum on the entire Torah. What is the entire Torah? Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Rambam, Midrashim, Zohar, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Bura, Tosefta Sifra Sifri, and a few other things we can't mention here. Every single year, 77 years. So I'm traveling with my son, who's about to be Bar Mitzvah, and he tells me on the way, I live in Beit Shemesh, we travel to Bnei Brak, he says to me, Abba, ask him how many times he finished Shas already. He said, I'm not asking this type of question. I'm not asking. I have better questions to ask. I'm not going to ask. I'm embarrassed to ask this. He says, Abba, what do you care? I said, I don't feel comfortable asking this type of question. Abba, why do you care? I said to myself, you know what? Why do I care? I'll blame the kid. So we go inside, and I said, Rebbe, my kid, I have no interest, but my kid wants to know, how many times did the Rav finish us? Reb Chaim looks at me, he says, Ani lo oseh cheshboines. I don't do calculations. I don't give up. I said, Rebbe, but at least 101 times, right? He smiles. He says to me, Ani lo zocher. I don't remember. Reb Chaim Kanievsky doesn't remember something. A chiddush. A tremendous chiddush. Ani lo zocher. We went outside. I told my son, tremendous yesod here, tremendous limud. You know, Chazal tell us, when a Talmid Chochem says something, even if it's divrei chulin, it requires analyzing. Talmud Chochem doesn't say things stam. I told my son, what do you think? When you go upstairs after 120, they're going to take your chart, your file, say, wait a second, what? Only 68 times you finish us out? No! It's not about quantity. It's about quality. Did you try to learn my Torah? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to ask each and every one of us. Did you enjoy the process? Wasn't it sweet? That's what we're going to ask. We're going to be asked. Not how many times, who cares? If you learn, try to enjoy, and try to retain as much as possible, check mark. That's all that they want from you. You know, I was once there with an 8-year-old. So he goes to the prime, he says, Arav, ani rotze bracha, ani rotze liyot tzadik, ani rotze liyot talmid chochem. I want to be a tzaddik, I want to be a talmid chochem, give me a bracha. Reb Chaim said 3 words, which are so powerful, and since then are carved in my heart. And I think we can utilize them for everything in our lives, not just for learning Torah, but of course for learning Torah as well. Reb Chaim said them 3 words, I'll say it in Hebrew and then translate. He told them, Im tirtze, tihiyeh.
If you really want to, you're going to be that Talmid Chochim, you're going to be that Tzaddik. In other words, if I'm going to give you 100 brachos from today until tomorrow, but you never open up a sefer, you think you're going to be a Talmid Chochim? You think you're going to be a Tzaddik? And just like there, the opposite. If I'm not going to give you any bracha, but you're never going to stop studying, you're going to open up a sefer and you're going to sit and learn, 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 you're going to be a giant Talmud Chochem and a giant Tzaddik. So what does it have to do with me? If you want to, you will be. So I don't give up and I say, Rebbe, but, you know, a bracha from you can't hurt, right? So he smiled and he gave a bracha. But this is such a yesoid. And I think they have to have it in all schools. Im tirtze tihiyeh. If you really want something, set goals. Create a path. How to achieve those goals. Go for it, Davin, and with Siyata Dishmaya. You will accomplish it. But you have to have goals. You have to have aspirations. You have to have sheifos. You need to want it. And then with Siyata Dishmaya, you can have it. You know how many times I was there with little kids? I came in either with the father and his little kid, or kids that were there, brought by their parents, autistic children. And every time I came in, Reb Chaim, 80 years old, 85 years old, 90 years old, stands up for them. So Reb Chaim explained, why do you have to stand up for an 8-year-old? Reb Chaim said, in autistic children, it's reincarnation of neshamos, of great tzaddikim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does this for a reason. A tzaddik comes back for another round to rectify a tiny little thing that's left. But when you're in this world, you can unfortunately do something wrong. So he puts him in a body that can't do anything wrong. A person like that, a kid like that, is not chayav in mitzvahs. And if he does something wrong, he's not punished. He's exempt from all the mitzvahs. Usually their rectification is a speedy process. So when we see a kid like that, we may think, poor kid, poor family, maybe younger kids than you, may chuckle inside. When Reb Chaim with his holy eyes sees a kid like this, he says, wow, great tzaddik, I better stand up. That's the perception of the eyes of Torah, the eyes of purity. I was once there with a kid, probably 5 or 6 years old, and he told Reb Chaim, he just started learning Chumash. So Reb Chaim smiles at him and gives him a candy. And that's the greatest thing. You got to give candies to the kids. I don't know if these kids eat candy. If not, give them something else. And he says to him, what Chumash are you learning? He says, Bereshis. What Parsha? Bereshis. Can I ask you a question? He says, yeah. Why does the Chumash start with Bereshis, with Beis? Seemingly, it's a superfluous letter. You can say the same thing without it. Let's try. Reishis bara Elohim shamayim ve'aretz. What did you lose? Reishis in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created heaven and earth. What did you lose? What did you have to plug in the bereishis?
You lose in.
What? No. Reishis bara. The beginning he created. Isn't that implied? So the Torah doesn't like to write superfluous letters, and ink is very expensive these days. So why do you have to write bereishis? The kid is 6 years old. He doesn't know. He's confused. He smiles. He says, I don't know. So Reb Chaim says to him, Beis is two. Aleph is one, Beis is two. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu created not one world, he created two. If you're good in this one, you get to go to the next. And he smiled at him and gave him more candies. And that's the best way to do it, with candies. I once came there, and his grandson says, go inside, go inside. So when I go, I don't sit across the table from him. I sit mamish next to him. Much closer than you guys are sitting. Much closer. I go inside, and the Reb Chaim is learning. I have my Megillah full of questions that I want to ask him. And the Reb Chaim is with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's sitting and learning. And when he's learning, he is so focused. He's in his sefer, and he doesn't know, doesn't feel it. Somebody just sat next to him. And he wasn't ignoring me. You'll soon see why. So I'm sitting, mamish, much closer than you guys. Mamish sitting on top of him. So I decide I'm going to make him know that I'm here. I cough. Reb Chaim is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I start moving my chair. And I make noise. Nothing. I'm breathing down his neck.
But Reb Chaim is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
His son is in the room. His phone keeps ringing. People come in, people come out. Chairs are moving. There's noise. But Reb Chaim is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After 10 minutes, I have this on video. After 10 minutes, finally, Baruch Hashem, he had to flip the page. So when he did, his eyes moved a drop to the right. Oh, somebody's here. So I know he wasn't ignoring me. But I think that's something we are so missing today. Focus. It's always hard to concentrate on what you're learning. But today, especially, with all the advancements in technology, when most people have in their pockets 5, 6, 7 different devices that every 2 seconds something else is going off. WhatsApp, text, calling, fax, whatever it is. Maybe we'll commit. You have a Seder of an hour and a half. And normally, every, whatever it is, you do the math, you're smarter than me, whatever it is that applies to you. Normally, you can concentrate for 10 minutes straight. Take a Kabbalah, take something on yourself. 12 minutes. I'm not saying an hour and a half because it's not realistic. If you're already doing an hour and a half, great, so add another 2 minutes, add another 10 minutes, whatever it is. But let's try to concentrate more on our learning because you know what? It's a bizayon to Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us a letter. We call it Torah. It's a divine letter written by HaKadosh Baruch himself, Melech Malchei HaMelechim. And we say, wow, we're going to learn it, but wait a second, I have something a little more important. So hold on a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll be right back. What did you say? No, yeah. A little more important than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bizayon to Torah. As opposed to that, when you do focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words, it's a Kiddush Hashem. You're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing more important in my life than you, than your sweet Torah. You connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest level. That's one aspect of what I call the Adam HaShalem, person who reached completion. That's one way, the Torah, to be immersed in Torah, so concentrated, to know everything that there is in Torah, to go through the Torah every single year. But there are two more elements to the Adam HaShalem. I once asked him a very interesting question. You know, an Avel can't learn Torah. Shneema, what's the pasuk that indicates Torah is Simcha? They all fell asleep. What's that? Because Hashem Yeshorim, they're Mesamchei Lev. The Torah gives us so much Simcha. So a mourner can't learn Torah. So I asked him, there's a Rav, small town USA, who every Erev Pesach does a Siyum to exempt everybody from Tanis V'Choyrim, but he's the only one in town that can do it. No one else is Bar Hachi, no one else can do it. But this Rav now is an Avelus. Erev Pesach. Can he learn Torah to finish the daf that he needs, the two dapim, in order to do the Siyum to exempt everybody else? Or should we say, you're an Avel. An Avel is not allowed in Talmud Torah. Reb Chaim told me, Yochol, Toiva Sarabim. It's all Rabim. He's not doing it for himself. He's doing it for everybody else. And I think that's just a display of what Reb Chaim was. What do I mean? The following story happened to me twice. Once 3.5 years ago, and again 7 years ago. So twice it happened to be within a few years. I go in, I have an appointment, and I come to Bnei Brak, and his grandson tells me, I'm so sorry. My grandfather is really not doing well. He has fever. He doesn't feel well. He went to sleep. I said, okay, refuah shleima. He said to me, you know what, wait a second, I'll just tell him that you're here. He goes in, he tells him that I'm here. The Chaim says, let him come in. They take me into his bedroom. Kodesh HaKodesh, bedroom. He's lying in his bed, covered with a blanket. The last few seconds when he's still awake, he looks at me and says, what? Where did you come? What's the question? I asked him the question. He answers me. But my mind, unfortunately, is not the size of Reb Chaim. And I do understand his answer. So I challenge him. And I start arguing with him. And instead of telling me, young man, get out of here! Don't you see? I'm not feeling well. He answers me. Until finally, Baruch Hashem was able with my tiny little brain to understand what he was saying. Now, who does that? Where are you from? What city?
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. What's the name of your mayor?
Hmm?
What's the name of your mayor?
Zero.
Good, Baruch Hashem. No interest whatsoever. However,
I'm not old enough to vote.
Even if you were, who cares? You want to meet the mayor of Philadelphia. You think they're letting you come into their house? To their bedroom? When they're in bed, not feeling well? Who does that? And that's, with all due respect, the mayor of Philadelphia. Mayor of Philadelphia. We're talking about Man Malchei Rabbonon. Pitin Samech Beis, the Torah calls, Chazal called Rabbonon, kings. He's a king. Who does that? A person who realizes that the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who told you tomorrow morning to all come here and put your tefillin on is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said, Hevei mekabel et kol ha'adam besever panim yafois. Accept people, no matter who they are, with a smile, greet them nicely. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that told you to fast on Yom Kippur, who commands you, ve'ahavta le'reacha kamoicha. The way you want it to be treated, treat others. And then there was the finger. I don't know how many times I daven with him. Shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. Can't count. Always the finger following the sinner. Not only in his private Shmoneh Esrei, in the Chazan's repetition. And believe me, Reb Chaim knows Shmoneh Esrei by heart. Don't worry about that. You all know it by heart. Reb Chaim knows the entire Torah by heart. He knows Shulchan Aruch by heart. He knows Shmoneh Esrei. But the Chazan is like our lawyer. He is a hired employee. You better make sure the guy's doing the right job. A good job for you. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai writes, based on Kislei Ha'ari, that the tikkunim done by the tefillah of the Chazan are greater than our private Shmoneh Esrei. And that is why we have Shmoneh Esrei, because really we don't need it. This institution by Chazal of having the repetition of a Chazan was done because people didn't know how to daven. Today everybody knows to daven. And if you don't know how to daven, open up the art scroll. Everybody can daven today. So why do we need him? We don't need him. He's not moitzi anyone. We need him, says the Arizal, because the rectifications upstairs, done by his tefillah, he takes all our tefillahs and elevates them. It's at a higher level than our own private Shmoneh Esrei. So Reb Chaim wants to make sure the guy's doing a good job. Commit to daven with a little more kavana. And the best way to do it is learning what tefillah really means. 5 minutes a day. If you're already doing it, great. Add one more minute. Learn, understand what you're saying. Go through, there's so many good svarim today, explaining what it is that we say in tefillah. And then you can connect on a much higher level, a deeper level. That's the Adam Hashalem. Because when you want to see a person with his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes we learn, yeah, because the rabbi is in the best medrash. Because what are my friends going to say? You do chesed. Because I also want him to do chesed to me when I'm going to need him. But tefillah is the true display of your connection to Ribono Shel Olam, because manu amama, it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Adam Hashalem, who immerses himself in Torah, in chesed, and in tefillah to the highest degree. You know what the most precious commodity that Reb Chaim had? The most expensive item that he had in his life. You know, any one of you was ever zoichet to be there? In 23 Rashbam, you were there? You were there? There was nothing in that house. There was sfarim. Some sfarim. There's also some sfarim. But otherwise, there was nothing. There's also some sfarim. In every single room. But there was nothing else. There wasn't even, now I'm talking about a car. Not even a phone. There was nothing in that house. Reb Chaim didn't speak on the phone 94 years. He felt that it's going to deter him from concentrating in Torah. So the most precious commodity to Reb Chaim was his time. And he gave it freely. Hundreds of people every single day. Believe me, I saw some people coming in asking questions. I'm like, wow. He's a certified Am HaAretz Midei Rabbanon Midei Raisa.
asking questions that should not be asked. To go to the dome, go ask your local Orthodox rabbi, qualified person. And yet he answered Talmidei Chachamim and Amei HaAratzos and little kids with the same smile, the same way, same patience. Why? Because the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who told you to keep the Shabbos is the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who said, they both came, kruchim yardu min hashamayim, they both came together. Mitzvah sheben adam lachaveiro, mitzvah sheben adam lamakom. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that commands on them. And therefore to Reb Chaim, they're equal in value. You know, the rate he processed information was frightening. I come sometimes with a whole big page full of questions, and Reb Chaim scans it, and as soon as he's done, boom, 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 the answers come out. No hesitation. The most I had to wait sometimes was 2 seconds. Normally it was less than 1 second. He finishes as if this is what he was dealing with. Doesn't make a difference if it's Agada, Ashkafa, Halach, Halom, this doesn't make a difference. Boom, the answer comes out. You know what it means? A speed to process information. Reb Nachum Partzovich was a Rosh Yeshiva in Ponovich. And one day he comes into the yeshiva, and 2 guys are sitting by the stender. Gemara is open, but they're not learning. They're shmuzing. But as soon as they saw Reb Nachum, Tanu Rabbonon, and they're holding the Gemara. Reb Nachum passed by them, and he looked, and he saw, oh, Maseches Nedorim. There is no Tanu Rabbonon in the entire Masechta Nedorim. They told this Maise to Reb Shteinman. I'm sorry. They told this Maise to Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim thinks for a second. He says, Reb Nachum is right. There is no Tanu Rabbonon in Maseches Nedorim. But there is that Tanu Rabbonon in Daf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph, Maseches Nedorim. They told this Maise to Reb Shteinman Zatzal. Reb Shteinman is not impressed. He said to him, Rebbe, Reb Chaim just scanned the entire Masechta Nedarim in a matter of a few seconds, and you're not impressed? No. Why are you not impressed? So Reb Shteinman says, look, we'll talk in American terms. Reb Shteinman obviously didn't use Home Depot as an example, but he said, did you ever go to Home Depot? And you go to the guy and you say, listen, I'm looking for that small screw, the 3/8, not the thick ones, the thin ones, not the short, the long, yeah? He says, yeah. Go to the 4th aisle, make a left, make a right, make a left, make a right, make a left. On the 4th shelf, behind the green bins, you'll find it. How do you know? In a Home Depot, I'm guessing there's at least 300,000 different items on the shelves. Probably more. How do you know? What do you mean, how do you know? He must know. Not only does he know where that screw is, he knows exactly how much he bought it for 2 years ago, and how much he sold it last year, and how much he bought it for a year ago, and how much he's going to sell it. This is his chius. This is where he derives his energy, his life. This is the oxygen that he breathes. What's the pshat? Why are you impressed that a Home Depot or a clerk knows everything that there is to know about his store? Says Reb Shteinman to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Shas Bavli is his Home Depot. It's his makolet. It's his grocery store. This is where he derives his life, his energy, his chius. Is the oxygen itself that he breathes. That's the pshat in understanding and owning Torah. So why are you impressed? His driver, Reb Chaim's driver, once told his friend, who's a Baal Tshuva, you know, I'm going to drive Reb Chaim tomorrow to Yerushalayim. Do you want to join me? Oh, wow, great, that'll be great. Can I ask questions? Sure, you can ask whatever you want. They go into the car. Reb Chaim sits in the front. And Reb Chaim's son is there as well, the driver in the front, and his friend, the Baal Tshuva, in the back. They start driving, and the Baal Tshuva says to Reb Chaim, Rebbe, can I ask a question? Yeah. Look, I just became a Baal Tshuva, and started keeping Shabbos, and it's very nice. But you know, we have a dog. The Torah says, Leman Yanuach, who should rest on Shabbos? Not just you. Who else should rest? Shorcha, chamorecha, your animals. So tell me, does the dog have to hear Kiddush? Reb Chaim says, yesh lehakel, yesh lehakel. You can be lenient. Okay. 60 seconds later, Rabbi, can I ask you another question? Yeah.
Like I said, we have a dog, Bale Chur, we keep Shabbos, it's very nice. But you know, the Torah says that you have to rest on Shabbos, your animals as well. And you have to eat three meals on Shabbos. Does my dog also have to have Shalishudas? What would Chaim answer? What would Chaim answer? No! Could be Yesh Lehachmir. Why? Because in Brachos Daf Chav Beis we learn, we say it every day in Shema. V'nasati esev besadcha livhem techa. And only after that it says ve'achalta ve'savata. First you have to feed your animals, and then you have to eat yourself. So if you have to eat three meals on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to eat until you feed the animal, the question is, a kelev, a dog, considered a behema or not? It's a machlokes, yesh lehachmir. Of course, if the dog is satiated and doesn't want to eat, you don't have to force feed him. But technically speaking, it could be that the dog is chayev in shalishudas. But then, Reb Chaim saw that this whole trip is going to be about dogs. So he says to his son, let's find all dogs in Shas Bavli. Okay, first one, Brachos Daf Samech Gimel, Shabbos, Daf Hey, Shabbos, Daf Zayin, Shabbos. And him and his son go throughout Shas until they got to Yerushalayim. They found all the dogs in Shas Bavli. There are many dogs there. I noticed that everybody who came into that house left with a smile. It was just unbelievable to see. From what most people, especially in last year's, got a bua. What's a bua? You know that it's bracha ve'atzlacha. Most people didn't even know what it means. If you're lucky enough, you got a bracha ve'atzlacha, the full bracha ve'atzlacha, and people came out smiling. Let's take it upon ourselves. Let's make sure not even one day passes by that you don't cause somebody to smile. And don't think about it at 12 o'clock when you're going to sleep. It's too late. People are sleeping. Middle of the day. Stop for a second. For a second. It doesn't cost a dollar. How can I make my friend smile? Person on the street. Whatever it is. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that commands us on all the things that we like to do between him and us. It's the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, Reb Chaim had a very lengthy style in the way he answered in his letters. Most of the time it was ken, yes, lo, no. If it's tzarichion, he's not going to write two words, tzadiyayin, rashay tevois. Sometimes it's ulai. A friend comes and tells me, you know, I'm kind of upset. He says, I wrote a brilliant piece of Torah. He said it, I didn't read it. He said it about his own Torah. And I send it to Reb Chaim, and Reb Chaim writes me back one word. Yitochen. Possible. Could be. Possible on such a brilliant piece of Torah? I said to him, you don't know what you're talking about. You're the luckiest person in the world. He says to me, why? He says, you have to realize. Before Reb Chaim took the pen and wrote those four letters, Yitochen, he scanned the entire Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, Tosefta Sifra, Sifri, Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Zohar, Midrashim, and he didn't find any opinion that opposes what you wrote. So he did you such a service now. He wrote Yitochen, and it could be because I didn't find anything that opposes your Chiddush. You're the luckiest person in the world. A girl came to me, 26-year-old, she wants a bracha for a shidduch. Go to Reb Chaim. What's your name? So, you know, Reb Chaim had his own unique shita in names, and he didn't like modern invented names. None of the other poskim care about it, but Reb Chaim, this was a shita. What's your name? Liat Ariel. I said to her, are you sure you want me to go with this to Reb Chaim? Because from my experience, he's going to tell me to change your name. I want this Ruach HaKodesh. I said, listen, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh. You're calling me back after 4 months with an identity crisis, you're crying. I want this Ruach HaKodesh. I said, you're a tzaddikis. But do me a favor. From my experience, he either tells me to change the name and you have no idea what I'm going to pick for you. Or he pulls something out of his sleeve. Maybe something from the Pasha. You don't know what you're going to get stuck with. And many times he told me to call people Yente or Yachne. Do you want to be a Yachne? She says to me, I want this Ruach HaKodesh. I said, you're a tzaddikis. Afal pichen. Let's do this. Give me three, four names that you like. and I'll present them to him. This way there's less of a chance you're going to get stuck with something you don't like. No, I want his Ruach HaKodesh. I said, Ruach HaKodesh, Ruach HaKodesh, give me a name that you like. No. And she argues with me. The end, she case. No, so what name do you like? I really like Chana. I said, Chana is very good. Excellent. Give me another name. Stop. I gave you already a name. I said, what do you care? You're giving me one name. Give me another. She said to me, I really like Sarah. I said, Sarah is great. Give me one more name. Stop it already. I want this Ruach HaKodesh. I said, but you already gave me two names. She says, I'll tell you the truth. I really like Rochel the best. But don't tell him this name. I gave you Chana, I gave you Saul, and that's enough. I said, okay, fine. I go upstairs. Rebbe, there's a girl outside. Her name is Liat Ariel. She wants a... What's her name? Liat Ariel. Ariel. Ze Shem Shel Zachar. It's the name of a boy. Liat. En Shem Kaze Bichlal. There's no such name. So Rebbe, what should we do? We have to change her name. So before he has a chance to say something, I say, Rebbe, she really likes Chana and Sarah. He looks at me, he says to me, but her real name is Leah. Because he always used to pick a name that's sounding similar to the original name that the person came with. You came with a Leah, you're Leah. I said, but Rebbe, she really likes Chana and Sarah. He says to me, Aval Hashem Amiti Shela ze Leah, but her real name is Leah. How can I do? Can't argue with him. I go outside. I said to him, Mazel Tov, Veikar Eshmech B'Yisrael, Leah. He said to me, Leah? My sister's name is Leah. No, wait a second. I go upstairs, I run upstairs, and Rebbe, her sister is Leah. Her sister is Leah? So she's Rochel? Leah and Rochel were sisters? I go outside, I said to her, you wanted Rochel? You got it. You wanted Ruach HaKodesh? You got that as well. A top doctor from the States, we're not going to say the name of the city, because I don't know where you guys from, calls me on a Tuesday. He said, can you get me into Reb Chaim tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon? I'm coming, especially to see Reb Chaim. What happened? He says, my daughter is very sick. They found that she has this bug that the body basically eats itself up. There's no known cure. It's lethal. They did all the tests, and everything indicates that what she has. There's just one more test to go. So I told my daughter, don't do it. I'll go to Eretz Yisrael, get a bracha from Reb Chaim. And then you do the test. Can you get me in tomorrow? Salim et Hashem. He lands Wednesday afternoon, we go to Reb Chaim. Now, Reb Chaim was on that day in a special mood. And I was in a special mood. So we go inside, we're the only ones in the room. This fellow, the doctor, Reb Chaim, and myself. So I said to Reb Chaim, Rebbe, this doctor came all the way from the States just to get your bracha. This is the situation with his daughter, terrible shape. Reb Chaim looks at him, and Reb Chaim pulls his own beard, and he says to him, I'll say in Hebrew and then translate, Tegadel zakan ve'abat shelcha tiyeh beseder. Grow a beard, and your daughter will be fine. But he said it in such a confident way, such like a psak. So, are you azuz de kedusha / chutzpah? And I said, Rebbe, is the Rebbe promising she'll be okay? And I never used to use that language. And when I heard other people using that language, Reb Chaim says, what can I promise? What am I, a Navi? I can give a bracha. But he was in a special mood that day. And he tells me, if he will grow a beard, she will heal. So I translate. And I said to the doctor, are you mekabel this on yourself? He says, yes. I said, Rebbe, he's mekabel. So Reb Chaim says to me, so she will heal. We go outside. He turns around, goes to the airport, flies back. He calls me on Monday. He said, you're not going to believe what happened. Yesterday was that final test. The doctors are saying, not us, the family, the doctors are saying it's an open miracle. She has nothing. Clean, 100%. A year and a half later, he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. He tells me, please get me and I want to say thank you to Reb Chaim. We go inside. I said, Rebbe, a year and a half ago, this doctor was here. You gave him a bracha. His daughter was in a terrible, terrible situation. You told him to grow a beard. You see, Baruch Hashem, he listened to you. And the doctors are saying it's an open miracle. He came to say thank you. Before he has a chance to say thank you, Reb Chaim says, the thank you is not to me. The thank you is to the Torah that wrote, "Velo sashchis espeas zekanecha." Don't uproot your beard. But what does it do with me? Such anava. Such koyach to give brachos. Where does this koyach to give brachos come from? The funny thing about this question is that Reb Chaim addresses it himself many, many years ago
when he writes a sefer called Ochos Yosher, Perek Chavav, Perek called Ruach HaKodesh, and Reb Chaim says, you know, we see an interesting thing. I see people coming to Gedolei Yisrael, and he's referring to his uncle, the Chazon Ish, he's referring to his father, the Stipler, and people ask them questions, and sometimes they give opposing answers to two people with the same question. And the two people come out, and they follow the directives they just got, and they are both successful. How is that possible? Reb Chaim prophesizing, and not knowing that he's writing about himself back then. And Reb Chaim says, a person who makes sure to keep his mouth the kedusha v'tahara, sacred and pure, and makes sure that only divrei emes come out of his mouth, only truth comes out of his mouth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if is forced to make sure that whatever he says will become emes. Sanhedrin Daf Tzadi Amud Aleph, we learn everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in this world, mida keneged mida, measure for measure. So if you make sure you only use emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure whatever you say turns into emes. That's a pile ploy. You know, there was an amazing thing that 4 minutes after his ptira happened, he died, I think around 4 o'clock Friday. I think at 4:04, I get an email from somebody in the States. And this fellow emails me and he says, you probably don't remember me. 10 years ago, you took me to Reb Chaim. I happen to remember him very well. And he says, you know, I wanted to write to you a while back. I have this major shaila in my life. Do me a favor. Go to Reb Chaim and ask him, what should I do? And I just heard of his passing 4 minutes ago. So with a very heavy heart and tremendous sadness, I write back, I'm so sorry to tell you, but there's no need for me to go to 23 Rashbam anymore because he's not there. He just passed away 4 minutes ago. He writes me right back, wow, you just punched me in the nose. But I'm more upset about myself. Why did I wait a whole year? This was bothering me for a whole year. And I think that's a tremendous Musa Haskel. You have a chance to cling to an Adam Gadol, to ask your shailas, to go to Talmid Chachamim. There's one sitting right in front of me. I'm not going to say his name because he's very humble and he's going to be embarrassed. But we both know, we all know. Everybody sitting here know. But we're not looking at you. We're not mentioning your name. So it has nothing to do with you. You have a chance to ask an Adam Chacham, an Adam Gadol, a Talmid Chachim, a Rav. You have a chance to cling to an Adam Gadol. Do it. The Torah commands, Ledovkabo, cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazal asked in Soita Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, excuse me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to fire. Hello, Hashem Elokecha Esh Oich Lahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fire. How can you cling to fire? And Chazal say, cling to Talmidei Chachamim, and it is counted as if you cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Don't delay. Make sure that when you have a chance, ask. As Talmidei Chachamim, the Rabbonim, get close to as much as you can to great people. Because with that you fulfill the mitzvah of Ledovka Bo, clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So what is left for us to do? You know, we all used to go to 23 Rashbam, get his bracha. I want to get Reb Chaim's bracha right now. Is there a way to do it? Can I get Reb Chaim's bracha now? Is it Shaykh? Achidush. Pilei ploim of Achidush. Yevomos tzadizayin amud alef, Chazal say, when you say advar Torah in the name of somebody who's no longer here, sfasav doive voice bakever, his lips as if are moving in the grave. What? What? What lips? What does that mean? What does that help me? What's pshat? His lips are moving in the grave. What does it mean? Come none other than Sefer Chassidim. That's Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that's Rishonim. Rishonim kemalachim. They're like angels. And in Siman Reish Chaf Dalet, Sefer Chassidim writes, when you say Advar Torah in the name of a tzaddik who's no longer here, the tzaddik davens for you and is mamlitz toiv ba'ado, and he is a good advocate on your behalf. And this is amazing. Because when you used to go to Rashbam 23, where the whole world went there, what did you get? A bua. Bracha ve'atzlacha. Here you have a way to force Reb Chaim to daven for you and to be your good advocate. So let's try to do it right now. Let's learn a shtikl Torah from Reb Chaim that applies to Inyana Deyoyma, to what we're mourning right now. And we're going to force Reb Chaim collectively to daven for us right now.
You're with me? You're still awake? Let's go. Every day, three times a day, we say a bracha on Shmoneh Esrei. I suspect most of us don't know what we're saying. Tika b'shoifar. Shmoneh Esrei. What shoifar? Are everybody together? What shoifar? You ask this every single day, three times a day. You did it for many years. You're going to mitzvah until at least 120. Tika b'shoifar. What shoifar? Oh, a big one. What shoifar? Geula. Shoifar Mashiach. What's the next word? Gadol. The regular standard size is not good enough for you? No, for me, XL. Double XL. What's Gadol? And how big do you want it to be? You know the Yemenite shoifers? The Yemenites? That's not enough for you? No. Tka b'shoifar. Gadol. It has to be Gadol. Why? What does it have to be Gadol? And what is the size of a Gadol? And don't tell me it's talking about the Tkia. Because Tkia is Gdoila. Gadol refers to the shoifar. Tika, blow in what? In a shoifar gadol, in a big shoifar. What's the size of a big shoifar and why is it needed? 60 years ago, a young man in Bnei Brak looks at this and the wheels start to turn. Whoa! Pashut! What's so pashut? Maseches Tamid, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, we learn that in the Mishnah it says, in Beis Hamidash, there was an announcer. His name was Gvini Akaros. And when he used to yell, they heard him all the way to Yericho. The Mishnah continues and says, the shoifar in Beis Hamidash, when it would blow, they would hear him all the way to Yericho. What's the distance from Yerushalayim, from Beis Hamidash to Yericho? 10 parsa. You know Maseches Tamid. However, Maseches Yuma Daf Chaf Amud Beis, the Tosfos asks, Tosfos Yeshani, there we learn in Yuma that only Agrippas can hear the sound of the shofar, and Agrippas was only 3 parsa, not 10 parsa. Why are you telling me 10 parsa? The sound of the shofar can only be heard to 3 parsa. The Tosfos answer in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that up to 3 parsa you can hear a very loud and clear sound of the shofar. Thereafter, it's not so clear anymore. You learn from here that the sound of the shofar can be heard to the distance of 3 parsa. But there's a Girsa in Yerushalmi, Masechet Shkolim, Perek Aleph Olocha Aleph. Girsa Sarishonim, that's the Talmud of the Rashbash and Rabbeinu Meshulam. And there it says that Agrippas wasn't 3 parsa from Yerushalayim, 1 parsa. So according to that, the sound of the shofar can be heard to 1 parsa. Great. When we say shofar, 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 the shofar of Beis Hamidash, what's the size of that shofar? When I don't give you a number indicating the size of the shofar, stam shofar has to be nida, daf, chav, vav, amud, alef, a tefach. There are 5 things which are a tefach. The ezov, which you sprinkle on a person who's tame, one of them is a shofar. Stam shofar, kosher, tefach. If a tefach-sized shofar can produce a sound that can carry all the way to the distance of a parsa, before we continue, we must say a medrash. Unbelievable medrash. Reb Chaim finds a medrash nobody even knows that exists. In Oitzer HaMidrashim there's a medrash called Medrash Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. And there it says, this shofar is the same shofar from the Akedah, from Eilo Shel Yitzchak, from the ram with Yitzchak. And Michael, the Sar HaGadol, Michael the angel, will blow the shofar 3 times, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will extend it to 1,000 amma. 1,000 amma! Now I understand why it says shofar Gadol. And Baruch Hashem, it's an angel that has to carry it, because I don't know who can carry a 1,000 amma long shofar. But why does it have to be 1,000 amma? Because if one tefach shofar produces a sound to 1 parsa, if I'm going to extend my shofar to 6 tefachim, which is 1 amma, how many parsas will I gain now? 6 parsa. And if I extend it to 100 amma, 600 parsa. 1 amma gives me 6 parsa times 100, 600 parsa. But if I'll extend it like a Kodesh Baruch Hu to 1,000 amma, how many parsas do I get? 6,000 parsas, perfect. In Psachim, Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Shisa, Alfei Parsi, Havi Alma, the size of the world is 6,000 parsas. Rashi to Perushim, in the second Perush, Rashi explains, 6,000 parsa to this direction and 6,000 parsa to this direction. Perfect. Michael Asar HaGadol. Bekorov, Bekorov, Bekorov. We'll stand in the middle of the world. We'll take this 1,000 amma long shofar, we'll sound it, and 6,000 parsa will be able to hear the entire world to this direction, another 6,000 parsa to this direction. You know what we just did now?
We forced Reb Chaim Kanievsky to daven for all of us and to be a good advocate on our behalf. One more thing. Ya'aros Dvash, Reb Yonis and Eibshitz writes an amazing thing. After Tzadik dies, all his good midos are hovering above and become Hefker Lakol. They are ownerless. You know what that means? Imagine. The president dies. The king dies. And his stretch limo is waiting outside. And if you're fast enough, it can become yours. And you can ride around in the limo of the president. You're going to feel like $1 million. How long will it last? 5 years? 10? 15 years? And he's definitely not taking the limo with you to the next room. But each and every one of us can become the owners of one of the good midos of Reb Chaim Kanievsky. You can be mehadin and take more than one midah. And that's something you're not only going to enjoy in this world, you're going to enjoy it in the next. It's up to us. We talked about many, many different aspects of Reb Chaim. Owning Torah. Desiring Torah. Concentrating in Torah. Focus. Anava. Greet people with respect, with a smile. Make people happy. Davening on a higher level. Kavana. You have many things to choose from. Decide. Right here, now, not tomorrow. I want to become the new owner of Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Midas. And Reb Yonis and Eibshitz promises you that you will be. Im tirtze tihiye. If you really want to, you will be. Mitzvah Hashem. One suggestion. One suggestion to finish off. We say many brachos every single day in the Shmona Esrei, 19. There's one bracha I think we don't give too much attention to because why do we really care about it? If you want more money, people go to Birkas Hashanim. If people are sick, where do we go to? Refa'inu. And if you don't understand the Toysis and Maseches Yevamos, where do you go? Atachoyin, Lodam Das. But how many of us, and I'm talking to myself, by the way, I don't know why you decided to listen to a private conversation. Not very nice. But how many of us really put a lot of kavana into Baruch HaTashem, Mechayi Amesim, what does it have to do with me? But if we all daven with a little more kavana and Mechayi Amesim, saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we believe that you have the koyach to be a Mechayi Amesim, and you promise that you will. Not only will Reb Chaim Kanievsky come back, he will be holding hands with the Rambam, with the Rashbi, with the Akiva, with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Bekorov, Beyameinu, Venoima, Amen.
So very much thank you, Tessin, for his time. I'm sure everybody realizes the time being valued for a client, how much time is valued for a Tessin, for the year.